Welcome. This is The Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us. Happy Friday. Welcome. The weekend is almost upon us. And of course, you know what that means, don't you? It's only one more day till Sunday. Now, some of you may worship on Saturday. That's perfectly fine. And that's sort of the focus of my weekend, and I hope it's the focus of yours as well. That's kind of why we do what we do here on the Bible study during the week. You know, it's the two big questions that we all have to ask ourselves. Who are we and what are we doing here? Well, I tell you what, on a day like today, it's delightful that we can announce a guest like Pastor Nabil Noor being with us. He's from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota, also serving as 5th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and the only guest on the Bible study. Normally, I have a little bottle of water here in the studio with me when I do the program. I actually have an energy drink because it's hard to keep up with this guy. Welcome, my friend. Good to have you back on the program.
A blessed morning to you, St. Roland, and to all the saints around the world who are listening to KFUO.
Amen.
Good news station.
Hey, I saw something on Facebook that you put up yesterday, and I'm glad you reminded me. Congratulations, almost 1 year to the day since some very serious heart surgery you had to endure.
Yesterday was one full year. Isn't it amazing? From
yeah.
the point of death to the point of life. You talk about God's grace, man. I can't believe I'm still with you in this world, and I'm thankful to the good and gracious divine physician for giving gifts to doctors to perform what is necessary to bring health and healing to my body as well as to my soul. And yes, it's time to celebrate.
Well, as one of the great men of the church, I am so thankful that you are still here with us. And when we met during the convention here in St. Louis, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Synodical Convention, you know, you look so good. You can't even tell that you had that kind of surgery at all.
Well, you know, I asked my doctor about that. I said, you know, I really can't even tell I had surgery. He said to me, you are the healthiest person he has ever operated on. You have known me for quite a few years, Roland. I'm
oh,
a
yeah.
very active person.
Oh, yeah.
I bike a lot, 15 to 20 miles a day. I eat healthy. I keep a pedometer on my side, and I attempt around my church to do up and down steps 25 times a day, and every time I go up and down, that's 32 steps. I find 100 reasons why I do that, and so I try to do keep myself well because I promised my wife I will never be a fat pastor.
Well, no one can accuse you of that. That is for sure. So other than that, how goes everything up in South Dakota? I mean, we complain about the weather here in St. Louis. A little bit colder in South Dakota, I would think.
It is colder, but I'll tell you what. Compared to yesterday, this is just a blessed Friday, a joyful day. Yesterday was so windy. In my dial-up prayer program, I said, men, keep your hats on. Women, tie your skirts or dresses down. It was so windy that I actually canceled an afternoon Sharon visit because it was just
really,
miserable.
Yeah.
Anywhere between 50 to 70 miles an hour wind yesterday.
Yeah, I saw a little bit about that on the news. That was pretty significant.
But other than that, on this beautiful Friday, man, can you envision so long ago, not far from where I was born, God allowed himself to be suspended between heaven and hell so that he might redeem us. How could you not be good, brother? How could you not be good?
You can't. You know, that's going to come into our study this morning.
That is correct.
Because
you are right on target.
Yeah, we are in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to wrap up that chapter today, verses 11 to 22. And we're going to have to talk about unity. And one of the things that came to mind, because you were the guest today, is there was yet again another story at Christmas time about the Church of the Nativity, which is controlled by more than one group.
Correct.
And you always get the videotape of the pastors and the priests and the other people that are involved having a punch-up because it was somebody who didn't do what they should or went where they... Unity in the church, it's an interesting thing. Let's begin with prayer, my friend, and let's do this also. I have I had a conversation with someone yesterday for the Saturday program, and he was in Southern California, and he says, you will not believe the fires that are going on out here right now. So it was wind for you yesterday. It's fires in Southern California. Let's pray for clement weather for the country.
We will do that, and for my prayers this morning, I want to use a hymn as the opening, and then we'll conclude with Excordia prayer, okay?
Yeah.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Precious Savior, you are our hope in the hour of need. This day, we remember what you came to accomplish for us. The greatest need we needed was forgiveness of sins, and you gave your life to earn it for us. Accept our humble thanks. But Lord, there are other needs in this world. Especially do we pray for those who are in California, specifically Southern California, and with the multitude of fires that's raging here and there and everywhere. We pray for the men and women who are fighting to protect life. We pray for those who have been affected by the fire. And we pray, O God, that you would change the weather, that it might be favorable and bring about a change. Through all of these things, Father, keep us mindful that we are only pilgrims walking through this barren desert, preparing our home to eternity. Bless our study today. Let Paul speak to our hearts and to our minds. And may we see the grace and the hope and the unity and the love that you have given to us. In your name, Lord God Almighty, the Lamb who takes away our sin, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, here is some very good news. If you've been trying to get into the program the last couple of weeks, you know that we've been endeavoring mightily. Since we changed locations from the old campus broadcast studios at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis to the International Center, which is several miles away, they had to migrate those 800 lines to match our new studio. Well, that sort of worked for a little while, but then some problems came up. And you know very well that it's been a while since that 800 number is working. Guess what, gang? It's working again. 1-800-730-2727. You can now come right into the studio during the study. Questions, comments from anywhere in the continental United States, even some parts of Canada, that number will work. If you're in the St. Louis metro area, don't worry about the 800 number. Unless you want to dial it because it works, that would be a joyous thing as well. 821-0850. And the email server up and running, KFUO at KFUO.org. You know, the thing
Wait, Roland, let me stop you. Can I scream now a word?
Sure.
Hallelujah!
Yes.
I've been waiting for this, and I have tried, although I've used my cell phone, which is not a problem. But boy, because the advertisement were giving the 800 number, and then every time you call it, we go to another country. Hello, I am from India. Can I help you, please?
Well, you know, I'm just grateful that we had a lot of folks here for that serve the International Center that also worked for the radio station that were. I know it was a frustration for listeners to not have that number available to them, but here we are. It works again, and thanks be to God for that. And these little challenges are what we have to deal with every day. So Ephesians.
Correct. I have one other question, if I may. I'm on the speaker. Does my voice come muffled, or should I go on the actual telephone? You tell me.
No, you sound fine.
Excellent.
You sound fine. You know what? Hey, I'm just here to follow you.
All right,
so
yeah, brother,
whatever
I'm
you
ready.
Like. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. I've got it broken out into four segments for our study this morning. And, let me start with verse 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants and promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And let's start our study with those two verses. If there's one critical thing, Pastor Noor, one critical theological principle that resides behind everything else in Scripture, it is that God reconciles all things through Christ, right?
Absolutely, right on target. 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Now, the mystery is that it was hidden in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament, first to the Jew and now to the Gentile.
That is correct.
But does that make some sort of a distinction then between Jew and Gentile?
Only on the surface. Because if you go to the Old Testament, even in the Old Testament, God gave the command to Moses that he desires Israel to be a beacon of light to the world, that through Israel, they would come to know the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, who is the God of the living and not of the dead. Israel can be summarized in one word, Jesus. Israel failed to do what God asked them to do. It's not that Israel was better than the Gentiles. They were the vehicle and the means by which God was going to bring his good news to the world. But they failed miserably, dishonoring God right away when they left Egypt. If you remember, Aaron built a calf, and he says, oh, all these people brought their stuff together, and poof, out of nowhere, a calf came. Yes. And ever since, it's been just going downhill. Until we get to Hosea chapter 11, where the prophet says, I will call my son Israel out of Egypt. And that is, of course, a type of what Christ will do to bring all nationality, whether Jew or Gentile, into the fold as part of the family of faith. So on the surface, yes, but deep down, if you study the Old Testament, God desires all people to be his very own. Israel was chosen for a purpose, and that purpose was to be a light to the world. And of course, Jesus brings that out to the new Israel in his great Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 13 through 16, where he says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are also the light of the world, and the light cannot be hidden. And therefore, honor God and let people see that light to bring glory to the Father.
The one thing that all men absolutely have in common, all men, all women, all of creation, is that because of sin, we are completely out of step with God.
You got that right, man. I can't see that any better. I cannot say it any better than you just did.
So,
you know, as I was going through this text, and I looked at it both in the Greek, I looked at it in my language, in the Arabic, and I looked at it in the English. And here are some of the words, theological words, that we can discuss that I caught through this. Number one, circumcision, former life and newer life, hope. We were strangers. There was Christ brought in through the cross, the opening, so to speak, so that now the Gentiles can be coming to the presence of God. And I call that the splitting of the curtain, just like what happened on Friday so long ago. And finally, the jointing or the union of the two to make one people of for God. And so these are all sandwiched in these 11 verses. And what is ironic too, St. Roland, is that in the in verse 11, he specifically talks about Gentiles in the flesh. The Greek word is sarkis, okay? In the flesh. And then he talks about the circumcision, again, in the Greek has the one that is worked by hand. And that's a circumcision of man. That was in the Old Testament. But now we have the circumcision of the heart done by the hands of Christ extended on Calvary's cross. So there is a clear distinction in that theology, what God is doing in the lives of people to bring them to the presence of the Holy Father.
Grab your Greek New Testament, and the word I wanted to start with is the second...
Let me look at it. Let me go ahead.
Yeah. Second word...
What verse are you in?
I am verse 11.
Okay, go ahead.
The second word, remember.
Right.
What is that word in the
remember.
Greek? Yeah, what does that mean? I mean, I remember what I had for lunch yesterday. I don't think Paul means the same thing.
Not at all. You know, remember how... Remember. Isn't that ironic? Anyhow, in the beginning of chapter 2, Paul talks about you were once dead in your trespasses and sins. And he goes through this wonderful homily, how we have been saved. He says, remember, don't go to the works of the law that you are about to find God. You can't find God because God is not lost. So remember everything that God has given to you. You need to go back to verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. That is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast.
Is that word?
Of course, in verse 10, which I call it the most forgotten verse among Lutherans, that we have been set apart before the creation of the world, for what purpose? To do good works. So he has said all of these things, and then he come with this Greek word, dio, that is, therefore. And what is therefore? That's the beginning of verse 11. Therefore what? Go back to what was said before. Remember everything that I have told you. You were enemies of God. You were dead in sin. You were in the darkness. But because of God's grace, you have a new beginning, and you used the term earlier, and I'm going to give you credit for that, reconciled to God. All of this has happened, and now Paul says, but remember. Remember what? Remember where you were and where you are. It's not remember, hey, man, I had nice linguine for lunch yesterday. Yes. No. Remember the sacrifice of Christ.
But is that word remember, is Paul using it as a suggestion or as a command?
Let me look at it again in the Greek. You know, you can translate it either way. I'm going to say not so much as a command that you have to do this, because he has presented his theses, you know, where you were, where you are. And having said all of that, then he says to you and to me, now therefore. So because of all that has transpired, I would use the word exhortation more so than a command.
The reason I asked, Pastor Neuer, is because yesterday part of the discussion about Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 was how the world likes to recraft sin as being anything other than sin. And if there is no sin, what then is the purpose of the gospel? And if it's a remembering of your sinful nature and you're being out of step with God and your need for reconciliation, how can we help but not remember these things?
Well, that is the key. That's the key. You know, in your opening comments of the program, you said, I read my post online. You know, I remember what my doctors did to me a year ago when they cut my heart open. I remember the kindness of the nurses and the staff who ministered to me while I was recovering for 113 days. I'm not forced into that remembrance. In thanksgiving, I reflect and I remember God's grace through the hands of surgeons, anesthetists, nurses, my bride, my children, my friends who called me from around the country, Pastor Neuer, I remember these things. That's not a command. Having reflected on this, boy, it is right there. You remember the grace of God. So that's how I take it. It's an exhortation. And how could you not remember the kindness of God, especially, you know, in a situation like me, having gone through open heart surgery, and then again, the grace of God. I remember that God himself gave me a new heart. How could I not remember my former life and the new life? And I rejoice in the new life that I have. I've been grafted into the tree of life again because I was an enemy of God. Now I have been reconciled in Christ. It's impossible not to think about it and not to remember the goodness of God.
And that's a good lead-in for verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And what's also interesting is, and because you understand this because of your family background and where you were born so much better, as Paul is writing this, and as the Bible uses the terms far off and near, what does it mean to be far away, and what does it mean to be brought near?
Well, you remember he is writing to Gentiles. And he is trying to express to them again where they were before. They were living in sin. And you also have to capture the moment of Romans chapter 7, where Paul himself said, I did not know coveting was a sin until the law said thou shalt not covet. Okay?
Yeah.
So to be far off is to be away from the presence of God. To be near is to walk humbly with your God, to show mercy and to show kindness. To be far is living to serve yourself. To be near is to be in the presence of God. Go to Luke chapter 15. The young son asks his father, and I'm going to put it in our cultural, historical view. Father, I wish that you were dead. I hope to God you die today. Can you envision me telling that to my father?
No.
I want you to give me my inheritance. And then he goes away. Now, he goes and he does things. We don't know what he did, but it was far away from home. He was far away from the loving, loving gracious of God, of his daddy. But what does dad do? Day in and day out, like a Middle Eastern man, he stands on the door looking for, on the road looking for his son. And he does the abominable thing. He lowers himself. He takes his tunic in his hands and he runs. And you never see a Middle Eastern man running for anything. And he hugs his son and he brings him is near. And then he has that wonderful, you were dead, but now you're alive. Because if the father did not kill the son, the community had every right to do it. Because not only did he blaspheme his father, but the whole community. He cut himself off. That's what it means to be far. Now, use another analogy. I'm quite far from my family. I'm 10,000 miles away from home. From the old country. This is home now because I have my own wife, my children, my grandchildren. I live in this country. But I'm still far away from home. But I'm not alienated from them. So the distinction between far and near is that the alienation. You could be far away from the house of God, but you're not far away from the presence of God. And that's the key point that Paul is trying to bring forth.
See, now when I was reading this and then meditating on it for a little bit, what came back to my mind was the Esther narrative, where she wants to go in and see the king, but you just don't walk in to see the king.
You got that right.
You have to wait until the king tells you that you can draw near. You can't do this on your own, because if you do, you get the chop.
That is very correct.
And that's the whole
but
dynamic
also,
going there.
You go down further where what Paul uses in this verse, where we have been brought together. We are no longer strangers, okay,
right.
Verse
yeah.
19. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Because of what Christ has done, we are no longer aliens and strangers and foreigners. We are part of the household of faith.
And, you know, we've made such a trivial thing, and that's maybe why I was thinking about Esther. We tend, and life works its way in. I mean, this just happens. The sinful nature causes this to occur. But we treat with such triviality that we can come into the presence of our king. And like Esther, we don't have to worry about getting the chop, you know, if we just wander in. This is no small thing. But yet, it's almost as if it's, our right, our privilege to do this.
It is now only because of what Christ has done. Let me add an intriguing thought that I had thought about last week in my sermon for the baptism of Christ.
Right. We have about a half a minute before the break.
In Matthew chapter 3, it states that the heavens were opened and the dove descended on Christ, right? The Holy Spirit as a dove. And then the voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What is interesting, Brother Roland, is this, that the same author, Matthew, in chapter 27 of his book, he uses the curtain when it splits. The opening there is the same word in Matthew chapter 3. So the curtain opened or split is the same word as the heavens opened. So now the curtain has been split. Now we have access to God. We can come to God and stand in the presence of the Holy King, blameless, only because of what Christ has accomplished on Calvary.
We'll pick that up on the other side of the break. Join us. The 800 number is working. 1-800-730-2727. I'm Roland Lettner. Coming up on this weekend's edition of Studio A, Dr. Stephen C. Meyer will join me, foremost scholar and proponent of the intelligent design movement. We'll examine why Darwin is wrong when it comes to the origins of life. Then we'll examine the changing attitudes of young evangelicals towards contraception. Also, buffer zones around abortion clinics, are they constitutional? And we'll wrap up by examining the close connection between Nazi ideology and Darwin.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment that changed my life.
It was still at the heart of the storm when we arrived in a convoy of Humvees.
These people had been there for hours, all scared and on the verge of hypothermia.
We dug them out, got them home safely.
That's what we train for, moments like this.
In the Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Missouri National Guard, aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
Have you ever thought about becoming a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524. And become a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. We are in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going verses 11 to 22 with our dear friend, Pastor Nabil Noor from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota. He also serves a very important position within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as fifth vice president. And what we need to spend a little bit of time looking at, Pastor Noor, one of the big problems that Paul's confronting here in this letter to the Ephesians is that this is a church filled with both Jews and Gentiles, different customs, different traditions. You know, you have Jews who are acclimated to the Old Testament rituals, somewhat unwilling to give them up, like circumcision. And then you have Gentiles who see no purpose in these things whatsoever. The Jews saw the Gentiles as being dogs. The Greeks thought anybody who wasn't Greek was pretty much a hillbilly. So why not just form two congregations? Why force these two different groups to be together?
I'm not so sure if the word force is the correct word.
All right, encourage, admonish.
Okay.
Command.
Let's put it in perspective.
Yes.
If you had two different congregations, both thinking personally of themselves, only focusing on that which is pleasing in their sight, whether they're Greeks or Gentiles, they have negated the work of Christ's death on the cross and the resurrection from the empty tomb. What they would do then is focus on themselves rather than on Christ. The church's role is this, St. Roland. It is a hospital for the sick. We bring every single person, Gentile or a Jew, to the divine physician. And he prescribes special means, word and sacraments. Excuse me. Through these means, they receive healing of body and soul. To keep them where they are, thinking that they are the special people because they are Greeks or they are Gentiles, you are negating the work of Christ. Because as I shared a few moments ago, in verse 19, remember what I said in 19, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are what? Fellow
citizens.
Citizens. I cannot in this country live under two different governments. We have one government. Though we may not like what the government is doing, we still have one government. We cannot be under two different governments. And this is the same things in the church. Christ says through the Apostle Paul, as he pens these words, we are no longer strangers. I often tell people, you are my brother from a different mother. You are my brother, Roland. You are indeed my brother. You have a different biological mother than mine. But hey, we are children of the church through the majestic miracle of baptism. Therefore, I can say you are my brother, and to the saints who are ladies, I would say they are my sisters. Well, how can I say that? Because I have been made a child of the heavenly King, just like they were. And to stay aloof and to be separate, just because I'm a Palestinian, I cannot worship with Germans or Norwegians. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul says, hey, that was your former life. Now is your new life. You are a new person in Christ. Therefore, let that life permeate and let the light of the gospel spread to the furthest parts of the world.
See, and that's one of the most uncomfortable things that we have to reconcile for ourselves, and that is, and again, that word, because Christ reconciles us with the Father, we also must reconcile one to another. And that's just not easy.
Well, it's a lot easier said than done.
Oh, yeah, good luck
that's
with that.
A fact.
I mean, that's why I mentioned at the start of the program, the Bethlehem scene where you see the priests punching it up with each other because, you know, somebody ran 5 minutes late during a service or something at the Church of the Nativity.
Nativity.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is so ironic how challenging life as a Christian is. You know, Paul, again, in the Civil War conversation of Romans chapter 7, he talks, that which I hate to do, I end up doing. How many times have you, dear brother in Christ, said, I'm never going to do this again? And what do you end up doing?
Oh, everything that I say I'll never do.
Right. The same with me. I'm a sinner. Whether I have an evil thought of somebody, or I look at a picture that I shouldn't have looked, or flirt with a woman that I shouldn't have flirted, you can name whatever it is, right? You can name any sin.
For sure.
Here's the problem. I am a sinner. What does a sinner do? Sin. What does an apple tree do? Bear apple fruit. I am a bad tree from the get-go. I cannot stop bearing sin. That's who I am. I try to control it, but golly, I get tired, I get frustrated, I get upset, and as soon as I do all of these things, ma'am, I have fallen down. But thank God, through the blood of Jesus, who is holy, perfect, righteous, faithful, I can stand as holy, righteous, blessed, and faithful in the presence of the King eternal, because it does not depend on me. It depends on the one who has joined me to himself and redeemed me by his blood and called me to be his very own. Because he is holy, he makes me holy. Because he is righteous, he makes me righteous. He is the tree of life, and because of his life, I have now life, beginning now, and throughout an endless ages.
This is the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO. We are in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. We're about halfway through our text. If you'd like to join us this morning here in St. Louis, 821-0850. The 800 number does work again, 1-800-730-2727. Email is up and running, and I have received word from the big office down the hall, Pastor Neuer. 32 states online right now as we have this Bible study, including Del Rapids, Hartford, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota, just down the road from you.
Wow, my colleagues are listening probably, or some of the saints. That is awesome.
Oh, here's
God
even
be the glory, brother.
Even better news, and perhaps you can send out a greeting in Arabic to Bahrain, who is listening right now.
إلى الأحباء في بلد بحرين أهلا وسهلا فيكم على السماع لكلمة يسوع المسيح إن شاء الله هذه الكلمة بتكون مباركة عندكم وتقويكم في خدمة ربنا يسوع المسيح آمين.
Also, the Philippines, Italy, and 14 other countries in addition listening right now.
I don't
now.
Speak Filipino. I do not speak Italiano.
Well, buongiorno, buenos dias, all that good
too,
stuff.
But
we welcome you to the study and join us, please. KFUO at KFUO.org if you happen to be in one of those parts of the world where dialing in is not accessible to you. All right, let's move on to our next section of text, which is 14 to 17 as I've broken it out. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances
that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Now, we're very good about you picking out words and explaining what they mean in the Greek. In verse 14, when it says, who has made us both? Well, when I see the word who has made us, made, does that word connect back to creation, to creating?
Recreation. Okay, we were made once, but this is a new life. Remember, we were, again, you got to go back to the beginning of chapter 2, where you were once dead in sin. Okay?
All right.
Now we have been reconciled and we have been made new, for it is by grace you have been saved. So now that we are saved, we are recreated. The new man is recreated because he was born in sin. So now we have been made, he has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And I highlighted that, St. Roland, earlier when we talked about the curtain splitting. That's the image that Paul is talking about here. He has broken that wall of hostility. Now we are no longer hostile towards God, and God is no longer hostile toward us. That curtain has been opened, and now we can stand in the presence of the King without having to be feared into death or destruction.
But wasn't there a wall that caused a great deal of trouble for Paul? Because if I recall, wasn't there a wall that separated the court of the Gentiles from, I guess for lack of a better term, the real Jews in the temple?
Not necessarily a wall, but it was a curtain where you could not.
It was a curtain, okay.
Because we're talking about the temple of the time.
Because yes, originally what gets him arrested is the riot that follows after they accuse Paul of bringing a Gentile through that barrier.
That is correct.
And into,
you know,
the midst of
the
Jews.
You go down today to Israel, and Israel is building a wall 25 feet tall, and it's supposed to be 680 miles around the country. And it is a separation wall. You saw it also in... he just died, the leader. I can't think of him right now.
Ariel Sharon.
No, mm-hmm. Ariel Sharon in Israel, but he was in Africa.
Yeah.
He was in prison for 27 years, and then...
Oh, Mandela.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, they had a wall of segregation also. Walls can be made in anything, whether it's wood or stone or curtains or just selfishness. There are walls that are built up. But Christ has broken that wall through his coming. Okay? And look how many times he brings the word peace. He has given us peace through that. You know what it's like if you've ever been angry with somebody. Every time you see them, your heart just begins to beat faster. The blood pressure goes higher.
Oh, yeah.
And you realize, oh, God, I can't stand that person, right?
Oh, yeah.
But through a mediator, you reconcile, and there is peace. And that peace puts on a different perspective. The animosity is no longer there. The hatred is no longer there. Okay? And so you realize that this is the love of Jesus. Consider this. I lived in Israel. I have Jewish people as friends. I have Muslim peoples as friends. But think of this, dear brother. I am walking down the street, okay? And I was only young, 12 to 13 years old. And a Jewish girl walks up to me and spits in my face. And she says in Hebrew, Aravi miluchlach, filthy Arab. That's what she said. That's the wall of hostility.
Yeah.
Okay? But through Christ, I can love that young girl because she is not my enemy. The devil brings anyone as an enemy. You see this in the Middle East right now as Muslims fighting against Christians and Christians fighting against Muslims. That's the wall of hostility. But Christ has come, has broken that wall, and he has given us peace and made us one. When you and I are united, whether I am an Arab or a Jew or Norwegian or German or French or Filipinos or Italian, we are one, because when we get to heaven, guess what? They're going to be from all over the world. This is what he made of us. He has recreated us to be the new man in him, to live for him and to serve him.
Let's finish up the text, and then we have callers that are waiting for you, Pastor Noor, picking up at verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. And that is the text for today. Let's go to the phones, pick up a call from Larry first. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Brother Noor.
Good morning, Saint Larry. Blessed day to you.
You also. You couldn't come from a town with a name more apropos than armor. Your Christian armor shines forth very brightly.
May God receive the glory, dear brother. Thank you for the compliment.
I have a question.
Fire away.
I'm having a problem here with it. The Jews and the Gentiles are in the same church with different belief systems. And it leads me to think about in Matthew chapter 13, it talks about the wheat and the tare being allowed to coexist in the church together. And the disciples wanted to, should we take action? And Christ said, no, you let them be together. Can you go into a little more detail on the situation in the church between the Jews and the Gentiles with different belief systems coexisting for us, Pastor?
Absolutely. Well, thank you, St. Larry.
Thank
it's
you,
a
Larry.
Great question. But let me bring it to our time and age, because you can see this right now. I do not want to say the different belief systems were not valid. They were valid, because the Jews thought of ceremonial activities and the Gentiles thought they were better because they were Greeks, and Paul is trying to teach them. But look at our own church body, okay? We have people who believe that unless you chant, you are not a faithful pastor, okay? If you don't use the common cup versus the individual cup, then you are not a faithful pastor. That's legalism, okay? Now, you can believe in Jesus Christ, but when you begin to force the issue, when you begin to tell me this is the only way that I am going to live to satisfy God, what have I done with God's grace? I have turned the gospel into law. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, and I wanted to bring this in here, I talked to my aunt about the tares. And I said, could you show me that? And I tell you what, on the outside, it looks just like the wheat. You could not. If you're not a farmer, you would not know the difference. But my aunt says, Nabil, what do you see with the tares versus the wheat? I said, I don't know. She says, look at the kernels, honey. I looked at the kernels. They were just a little bit smaller and a little bit lighter. Okay? So there is a distinction. What Paul is bringing here, the differences between the Jews and the Gentiles, is that they are taking the grace of God and bringing it into the law, saying this is the only way to live, and we say, absolutely not. And this is why Paul, in his wonderful comment, he says here, he has broken the wall, and he has made us one, so we are not thinking of what it is we have to do, but what God has given to us, whether Greek or Gentiles. I hope this helps you, St. Larry.
Well, and when you talk about Jesus not just bringing peace, but being our peace, well, even Paul and Barnabas couldn't get along at times.
But why don't we, dear brother? What is it that makes us not get along together?
Well, it's pride. Ultimately, it's pride.
Well, ultimately, it's sin.
Well, that's,
Roland,
yeah, the
how many years have
pride.
You been married? 20-some?
27, just December, 27. This past December 27th. Yeah.
You love your wife?
Of course.
With your whole heart? I'm asking a question, with your whole heart?
I try.
Okay.
But there are times.
Do you ever get into an argument with your wife?
Oh, of course.
Why? Don't you love her?
Of course. It's what you do when you're married. No, it's because... Well, it's because I probably should be much more mature than I actually am.
No, because you are a sinner. And sometimes a word can be stated, and it just sends you into a whirlwind. You know, when I do pre-confirmation sessions, and I say to the people, there's going to come a day you're going to say, what in the heck was I thinking when I married this woman or this man? Okay? Now, it might be a severe statement, but it's the truth, because underneath, we are all sinners. We always think of number one, whereas he who is the peacemaker, Christ Jesus our Lord, he thinks of you first. You know, sometimes I read the scripture, Roland, and I start crying. Case in point, if you read John chapter 13 through 17 at one sitting, that's the encounter of Jesus in the upper room. It's Thursday night, the cross is looming, and you see him thinking of him, not of himself, but of them. And I often pray as a pastor, Lord, help me to think of your people. Because sometimes I hear things, you know, that upsets me as a pastor. But I say, dear God, help me to love them as you do. And I need his grace, and I need his peace, and I need his reconciliation to help me reconcile against and with those who have hurt me. But because we are sinners, the first thing that I feel when somebody hurt me is I'm going to give them a very fast and furious knuckle sandwich. That's my me, because I'm just a sinful being.
Let's go back to the phones. Mike has been waiting patiently. Mike, good morning. Thanks for holding on.
How are you guys doing today?
Well.
Blessed morning, Saint Mike.
I don't think I'm a saint, but thanks.
Yes, you are. You are a saint and a sinner at the same time, and you're only a saint.
I don't think I'm a sinner either. Not
one,
guys.
You
know.
Because you have done anything good.
Yeah, I don't consider myself a sinner, but I guess my question is that, you know, the chief cornerstone, it calls it Jesus Christ in this thing, and I was thinking that for us, wouldn't the chief cornerstone of the temple be the New Testament for us?
Let me understand you correctly. Is the chief cornerstone the New Testament?
Right, because I mean...
Is that what you asked me?
Huh?
Is that what you asked me?
Yes.
I wouldn't say it that way, no. Because the New Testament does not contain all the divinity of Christ. We only have certain things about Christ. If you take the New Testament and replace it with the word Jesus, the Savior of mankind, that's your cornerstone. We do not have all the miracles that Jesus performed. We do not have all of the teachings that Jesus taught. We do not have all the compassion that Jesus showed. We have snippets of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But the cornerstone is Jesus. Because there is no ifs, ands, or but about his teaching, his love, his compassion, and his mercy.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
All right?
Hey, Mike, hang on for a second here.
Yeah.
Okay, because a little bit of a can of worms you had opened up here, and I don't want to leave it just lay.
All right, go ahead.
Because I'm concerned about your friend, and you call the program, and you obviously...
Oh, thanks, Roland.
Well, I mean, you obviously pay attention to your scriptures, and when you say, I'm not a saint, I'm not a sinner, well, I guess one question I have is, do you expect that one day you're going to die?
Well, I know I will.
Well, then the wages of sin is death, so if you're going to die, I think that pretty much seals the deal that you're a sinner.
I guess it depends how you define sinner, you know.
Pastor Noor, jump in here.
Well, I was going to bring it up. Mike, how old are you?
58.
You're the same age as I am. Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Do you work?
No, I don't.
Okay. What do you do? Tell me a little bit about yourself for just a moment, please.
Well, I have a pension from the veteran. I got a veteran pension. I get what's called compensation.
That is fine. Were you in the military?
Twice.
Okay, thank you first for your service. While you were in the military, you were given commands. Did you always obey them joyfully?
Hey, not only that, I was facing a court martial one time, but no, the answer is no, I did not.
Okay. By that, you have literally sinned against your commanding person, whoever that may have been, all right?
True. True.
So by that one activity, you have already sinned.
Right.
In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death.
Right.
But then you go on further, excuse me, and it says, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Right.
And when I said to you, Saint Michael, and I mean that, you are a saint not because of what you do, because you are a sinner just like me. You cannot not sin. I was just teaching confirmation the other day, and I was said to the people, you know, people think of sin as doing something. But it's a thought. It is something that is in our head without doing or carrying something out. Therefore, you are a sinner. But what makes me joyful in sharing with you that you are a saint in that Christ has stood in your place. Mm-hmm. He has taken that sin away from you, and he has made you holy and righteous. Because when God looks at you, Saint Michael, I'm going to use that word rather than Mike because I like Michael better, mm-hmm. is the fact that when God looks at you, he does not see your fallings, your sins, your evil. He only sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are reconciled. Therefore, you have peace with God. Therefore, you are in union with God. And therefore, you are part of the family of faith. And because of that, dear brother, you are a saint. Though you are still a sinner, but you are a saint. Not because of what you do, but because of what Christ has done for you.
Well, that's good of you to say that, to call me a saint. I mean, but I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I mean, I don't see myself really as a sinner either, but I mean, I know I've done things wrong, but...
Well, then you are a sinner. But here is the danger of your walk, okay? Here is the danger of your walk. If you don't think you are a sinner, then you don't need a Savior.
Well, see, I understand what you're saying, and I can follow your form of logic. But see, I always when preachers say what you're saying to me, it sounds like I call it like religious shop talk. You know, I mean, I know it makes sense to you because you've been conditioned to think this way. But when I hear it, it doesn't really make sense. Although I can see your form of logic, but it doesn't really make sense to me when you say this stuff to me.
Okay, let me put it in another perspective without using theological terminology.
We have 1 minute, Pastor, just so
okay.
You know.
Have you ever been sick?
Oh, sure.
Have you gone to the doctor?
Yes.
Why?
To get healed.
All right. Sin is a killing disease. Whether you want to accept it or not, and you can look around and everything dies around us. That's the consequence of sin, whether you believe me or not. But we go to the divine physician, Jesus Christ, who gives us the medicine of immortality. And by taking that medicine, we become healed and we become holy in his sight. That's the key difference. Whether you believe it or not, that's the truth, dear brother. And I hope as you study the scriptures, you will realize that you are blessed beyond measure because though you are a sinner, Christ died for you and rose so that you might be numbered among his saints. And you are one of those.
Well, that would be a good thing if it happens, you know.
It already has. Look to the cross of Calvary, and you will know that Christ has made you whole again.
Okay.
Mike, tell you what, Mike, thank you for the call. Thank you for those few moments of letting us speak with you. Hang with us. Stick with the Bible study. Keep calling. Keep asking great questions. We'll work with this. Pastor Nabil Noor serves at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota. Great teacher, great friend. Good Christian fellow. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your friendship, your time on the study. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, my dear brother. Thank you for the saints who have listened. And we pray by the grace of God we will continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ so that every sinner might know they have a Savior in Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my friend.
1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible study programs at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.